Previously on Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
Jonah called her minister, and she said...
Jonah?
Jonah. And she said, Reverend...
A woman named Jonah?
Yes, Cliff. And she called her...
I doubt our writers on this one. They should have... Oh, God!
Joanna.
Jonah!
Called her minister, and she said... And she said...
Oh, Joanna.
She said, Reverend, John and I had a dreadful fight.
Oh, this is the show, folks. This is the show.
Get ready for a heap and help and a sassitude. Here comes Cliff and Kendall.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear, each week bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Hey, Cliff!
Hey, Kendall. Oh, my gosh. Kendall, I am so thankful that we are doing a show.
I thought you were going to say, Cliff, I'm so fat, which is normal.
No, Kendall, I was going to skip the fat talk this week, and which I know would only make the show 5 minutes long.
But, Cliff,
mentioned how fat I was.
The fat season is upon us. It is fatica.
The fat season is upon us. But now, what I'm trying to do, because I know, now you know, I've been trying to build up for the last few weeks. I've been trying to be really good.
Oh, yeah.
Eating-wise. Because you know that the 5 days, there's at least, and I'm being real conservative, there's a 5-day period around Thanksgiving where it is just a clusterfuck of eating and weight gain. And where you cannot go somewhere without eating some dressing and a piece of pie.
Well, Cliff, have you ever watched like the Kentucky Derby when all the horses, they're standing at the gate and they're all excited, ready to go? That is our fat sales waiting for Thanksgiving.
That's us on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We're like, all right, here we go. This is going to be good.
I wake up on Thanksgiving morning and Susan's like starting to cook dinner and I'm like, what can I eat now that's ready? Because I don't want to waste it on one meal. I want to fulfill the day.
See, that's how gluttonous you and I truly are, because we on like around Thanksgiving, before Thanksgiving dinner, like if it's at lunch, if it's at supper, whatever, we're already hurting from eating so much.
Oh, I know. If somewhere we have to find it dinner even to start. Stuff an entire dinner into our stomachs.
Oh, it's a pain. And we don't do it for the pleasure. We just do it because we have to.
It's just customary. We have to. It's part of the tradition, Cliff.
Food stopped being pleasing a long time ago. Now I just do it because I don't know what else to do.
We're just like alcoholics. We're like, well, I don't feel good, but I gotta keep drinking.
I hide candy bars in the tank of the toilet like they do bottles of liquor.
Now that we've talked for 10 minutes about how fat we are, Cliff, what are you thankful for?
Oh, okay. No, I'm just thinking about this year, 2010. Mm-hmm. What am I thankful for? That.
I thought you might be thankful for that. I was waiting for that, actually.
I'm thankful for that. And then I was trying to think of some other things that I was thankful for. First thing that popped to my mind is, of course, in October, season 7 of the Mary Tyler Moore Show finally came out on DVD. It ended a 9-year period since season 1 came out in 2001. I was on the edge of my seat all 9 years. I didn't know if I was going to die before that last season came out. Boom! But I didn't. I lived, Kendall. I lived to see the day. And now I feel like the kind of how I'm living is if you ever saw the movie My Life with Michael Keaton and Nicole Kidman, where Michael Keaton had terminal cancer, and they said, we don't think you're going to live more than 6 months or whatever it was. And at one point, he and Nicole Kidman, his wife, they're like at Disney World, I think, and they realize that it's the day. It has surpassed what they originally thought he was going to live. And they break down and cry because they're so happy that he has lived so long. And I feel like that's kind of where I am. Like, I never thought I would live to see all seven seasons, because that's been what I've been working for my whole life, to have all seven seasons of Mary Tyler Moore. But so anyway, that's one thing that I personally am thankful for. What about you, Kendall Roney?
Well, you better be careful, because you may die at any moment now that you've gotten all seasons.
I expect to. At this point, I expect to be walking down the sidewalk and a piano fall on my head. I expect it now. So I just want to put it out there, in case I do die from a piano crushing tomorrow, I want to say that I'm so thankful to have had these many episodes with you, Kendall. We have a few rainy day episodes stored up in our storage closet that we were trapped in that one time. And if I die, I want you to put those out in a timely manner. And then once you're done with those,
it'll be like Tupac.
This is like Michael Jackson. He is like a 10 record deal now, and he's dead.
I know. I heard
so
that.
That's what it'll be like for us. I want you to put out those episodes, and then I want you to have a brief episode where you address the subject of my death and how incredibly sad you are.
Well, Cliff, there's nothing brief about that.
Yeah, and then I want you to go on with your life, whether you have a new co-host and you come on and you try in vain to recapture what we have in this show, and then it fails
try
miserably.
Try in vain.
Or... Oh. Because he won't be able to do that, Kendall. I don't care who you get.
I couldn't find anybody else so self-deprecating as the two of us.
Kendall, I've been talking for 26 minutes about how thankful I am. What are you thankful for, Kendall? We are on the edge of our Thanksgiving seats.
Oh, yeah, Cliff, I am thankful for nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I'm thankful.
Take that, Jesus.
First of all, should I... Jesus has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. Should I give you my top 30 list of thankfulness?
Oh, Kendall, whittle it down. I at least gave one long soliloquy about one thing. Whittle it down.
Okay, well, I'm definitely thankful for this show. Mm-hmm. Because when the week is long and the week is stressful and my belly hangs over my pants so low that I can't even see my feet, there's one silver lining in the week, and that is this show. So I'm thankful for that and for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm thankful for our listeners for tuning in to hear how fat we are each week, because you never know what's going to happen. They got to tune in every week to make sure we're fat.
You never know.
And I'm thankful for a job, no matter how stressful it is, that I'm actually working and saving toward something. And I'm thankful that there's the possibility that someday in the future, which will never happen, I may lose weight.
Oh, well, that won't happen. Don't hold your breath on that one. But, I want to say, because I felt really bad. We had your birthday episode, and it was understandably gloomy a few weeks ago because you were turning 29. I've had the opportunity for about 6 weeks before you to adjust to the living nightmare that is 29. And but you know, in the wake of all these suicides and these bullying things, I felt really bad that over the course of 160 episodes, at least 160 times, I've said how much I wish I was dead. And I don't really. That's my official statement. I don't really.
You were released from Cliff and Kendall headquarters. Cliff is officially happy he's alive.
There's a conflict between wanting to be positive and wanting to be honest with our listeners. But no, I'm kidding. But we have a lot of things to be thankful for. There
we
are many positive, because there's always something bad that goes on. When you become an adult, you realize that. There's always something that you can find that's bad going on.
Yeah.
But there are always also, if you just look, something good. Like having season 7 of Mary Tyler Moore in my hot little fat hands.
But that should be saved someday for when somebody else 20 years in the future is doing a podcast that's not going to be half as good as ours. And they're going to get to the end and they're going to say, "Do you have a quote?" And they're going to say, "Yes." And it'll be that quote that you just said about having something to look forward to and be thankful for, Cliff. That was such a beautiful soliloquy.
What a wonderful quote I just told.
Take us home, fat toes.
Kendall, I am thankful for this as well. Have you heard the new Kanye West song, "The Runaway"?
No, I haven't.
It is so good. It is so good. It is.
Are you thankful for that?
I am thankful for it. And now I want to say, and then briefly, and then I'll say, that's funny, but it's not. But we'll get into that in a minute.
We have so much to talk about in this episode.
We do. That's why I'm trying to rush this along. Have you ever heard a rap song that has made you like well up with tears and cry?
No.
Well, you need to go to iTunes, spend $1.29, or watch the video on YouTube, because the first several times I listened to it, I about cried. It is so good. It is amazing. And like the chorus is for us, Kendall, because it's like, here's the toast to the douchebags, to the assholes, to the scumbags. Huh. And now we need to do one, of course. Here's a toast to the fatzos.
And, I was about to say.
And the lard asses. And the morbidly obese.
Oh, that's so sad, Cliff.
It is sad, but Kendall, you know what? There are only a handful of days every year where it's okay, and not only okay, but encouraged to be morbidly obese. And one of those days is Thanksgiving. Kendall, that's not funny.
It's not, Cliff, and neither are these. Hey, Cliff!
Hey!
It's time to be thankful for these jokes.
And I want to thank you. Kendall, let me start you off on a thankful note here.
Oh, start us off, Cliff, with a thankful note.
You're going to be thankful for this one, Kendall, for just from the way it starts. A pastor. Oh.
Oh, God bless him, Cliff.
God bless him. Now, unfortunately, he's not at the pearly gates, but... This pastor, he explained to his congregation that the church was in dire need of some extra money. So he asked them to consider being more than generous than they usually are. And so he offered that whomever gave the most would be able to pick 3 hymns. And after the offering plates were passed around the church, the pastor glanced down and noticed, oh, Kendall, somebody had graciously offered a $1,000 bill. And he was so excited that he immediately shared his joy. He was just jumping for joy. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he shared
he
it with...
He was filled with something.
He was filled with something, that's right. But he shared it with his congregation, and he said he'd like to personally thank the person who placed the money in the offering plate. And a very quiet, elderly, saintly lady in the back of the church shyly raised her hand. A lot of describing words in that sentence right there.
Yes, and, it was.
Many adjectives. The pastor, when people get the transcript of this show, circle those adjectives. The pastor asked her to come to the front, so she slowly made her way towards him, and the pastor told her how wonderful it was that she gave so much, and in thanks, he asked her to pick out 3 hymns. Oh, Kendall, her eyes brightened, and she looked over around the congregation, and she pointed, don't you know, at the 3 most handsome men in the church, and she said, I'll take him, and him, and him.
Oh, Kendall. What a slut.
That is the only way I will be given $1,000 to any church anytime soon. Oh, whoa!
Well, Cliff, you know, I buy my Holy Spirit by the bottle at the liquor store.
By the bowl
full. It fills me with the Holy Spirit every night. Mm-hmm. Now, Cliff, Eddie in Dallas calls his son in New York just before Thanksgiving and tells him, I am sorry to tell you, but your mother and I are going to divorce.
Oh.
He says, I can't take this anymore. I can't take any of her moaning. We can't stand the sight of each other. I am telling you first, Eddie, because you are the eldest. Please, you call your sister and let her know. Now, Cliff, Eddie, he calls his sister, Julie, and he says, no way are they getting divorced. And they both decide that they're going to go see them for Thanksgiving. And Julie phones her parents and tells them both, you must not get divorced. Promise you won't do anything until I get there. I'm calling Eddie, and we'll both be there with you tomorrow. Until then, don't take any action. And she hangs up the phone. And now the father, he puts down the phone and turns to his wife and says, good news, Eddie and Julie are coming for Thanksgiving, and they're both paying their own way.
Oh.
What a sneaky bitch that father was, Cliff.
What a skinflint.
They're going to be so thankful when they realize that they're not really divorced.
Well, or they will be so pissed off. Now, Kendall, one Thanksgiving, you're not going to guess who. One Thanksgiving, no, not little Johnny, the Pope. The Pope.
Oh, the Pope.
Oh.
Asshole.
He was diagnosed as having a potentially fatal testicular disease, and I would like a round of applause for that.
Just like little Johnny coming in.
And so, but unfortunately, they were able to treat him. And after treatment, he was told that he had to have sex with a woman to confirm that the treatment had been fully successful. And so he called all his cardinals together and he told them what had to be done. He had to bone a woman. And they agreed that it was necessary. And so the
Pope. A little papal bone session.
Oh, the papal bone session, yep. And so the Pope said he would go ahead with it, but insisted on four conditions. Firstly, he said, the girl's got to be blind so she can't see that it's the Holy Father and tell the whole world. Secondly,
he's going to fill her with the Holy Spirit.
Oh. Secondly,
go ahead.
She must be deaf so that she doesn't recognize the Holy Father's blessed voice and tell the whole world. Thirdly, as a precaution, she has to be mute so she can't tell the whole world anyway. And at this point, one of the cardinals stood up and said, oh, leave it to me, Holy Father. I know just the woman for you. And as the cardinal was about to leave, the Pope said, oh, wait a minute. I told you there are four conditions. And so he beckoned the cardinal over. And as the cardinal bent down towards him, the Pope said, number four, big tits. Skanky, skeezy Pope.
What a bitch, Cliff, that Pope was.
The Pope is the worst.
That's my go-to answer for every joke.
What a bitch that Pope was.
Do you think that if you have sex with the Pope that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you think that goes without saying?
I think you would be filled with blorch if you... One day, some little turkey and dressing came back up. One day, Kendall, they're gonna... Well, this marks the second time that I've blorched on the air. And,
Ran, cover your ears.
In the last 6 months. And so, but no, one day they will have a robot doing our show for us, and it'll just have, like, sort of canned responses, like, what a bitch Pope! That come out after each joke.
Or no, it'll just say, what a bitch that person that joke was.
Now, and what a funny joke I just told.
I'm so funny. Cliff, Martha had a parrot called Brutus. And the only problem was that Brutus cussed something awful, Cliff. Brutus was like you. And now Martha was having her in-laws over for Thanksgiving. They were more like...
Piece of shit bird.
They were more like me, Cliff, these in-laws.
They were
and
fat.
And so she needed to... fat and prude. So she had to train Brutus quickly not to swear. Now, just before her mother-in-law was due, Brutus cussed something terrible, Cliff. So Martha... She put him right in the freezer for 2 minutes to cool him off.
Oh, Lord.
And then she opened the door and took out the parrot along with the turkey and said, have you learned your lesson about cussing? And the parrot looked up at Martha and said, he looked at the dead turkey and said, I sure have, but I have one question. What the hell did the turkey do?
Oh.
Oh, what a bitch that parrot was, Cliff.
What a bitch. Now, Kendall, one blessed Sunday after Thanksgiving. There was this Sunday school teacher, and she was on the playground because, you know, Sunday school, they often go to the playground, and one of her students was making faces at all the other kids on the playground, and Miss Smith, this was her name, she went over to gently reprove the child. Now, she smiling sweetly, the Sunday school teacher said, now, little Johnny.
Oh, little Johnny!
When I was a child, I was told that if I made ugly faces, it would freeze and it would stay like that. And little Johnny looked up and replied, well, Mrs. Smith, you can't say you weren't warned.
Oh, I knew that was coming. Little Johnny is such a bitch, Claire.
You knew it was coming, Kendall. You knew it was coming. That's why I didn't even tell you to leave the room, because you knew it was coming.
Well... Cliff, speaking of our good friend Little John, which I don't know if anybody will ever teach him the proper way. He was asked to write a composition entitled, What Am I Thankful For on Thanksgiving?
How blessed.
And Cliff, do you know what Little Johnny wrote?
Season 7 of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
No, Cliff, he wrote, I am thankful I'm not a f***ing turkey.
Whoa!
Oh!
Oh, Kendall, what did the mama turkey say to her naughty son?
Naughty son. I don't know, Cliff.
Oh, if your papa could see you now, he'd turn over in his gravy.
Oh, Cliff, why did the turkey cross the road?
I don't know. Was it the chicken's day off?
Oh, Cliff, you read my mind.
I read the same email our writer sent us. If the pilgrims were alive today, what would they be most famous for?
Their age, Cliff.
Exactly.
Oh, is this things you should know or bad joke?
Why can't you take a turkey to church?
Oh, I don't know, Cliff, why?
Oh, okay, they're just like little Johnny because they use such foul language.
Oh, what a bitch that turkey is.
Oh, Kendall, here's a stupid question for you. What are the feathers on a turkey's wings called?
Oh, I don't know, Cliff.
Turkey feathers, idiot.
Idiot! What a idiot. Bitch you were for asking me that question.
What a bitch, Kendall. I have to take a break and I have to go let out my pants. I've eaten so much.
Cliff, I gotta take three breaks for three different pies for Thanksgiving dinner. But we'll be right back after this.
All right.
More sass right after this.
Silent night, hungry night, all is cooked, all is hot, round yon turkey dressing and beans, with a joy Thanksgiving brings. Oh, the turkey is good. Oh, the turkey is good.
Turkeys, why don't you give turkeys this Thanksgiving off? Save a turkey. Eat a pie. Brought to you by the Foundation for the.
And now back to the show.
I will be forever blessed in the morning. I will be forever blessed throughout the day. I will be forever blessed in the evening. For Jesus is the one and only way. Was a time I had no shoes on my feet, my clothes down to a thread like my pride, and I cried a rhyme, a reason for misfortune, and then I found Jesus by my side, and he told me how it was to walk to Calvary, how he was whipped and speared and died for you and me. Oh, but even death's grip could not hold him, and his blood is why we sing victory.
And I will be forever blessed in the morning. I will be forever blessed throughout the day. I will be forever blessed in the evening. For Jesus is the one and only way.
Oh, Cliff, I'm so fat from that pie. We are back.
Oh, I'm so thankful that our listeners have stayed with us through the commercial break.
Oh, Cliff, I don't know if they have.
Well, I'm just going to think like all those episodes that we make about thinking positive.
Yeah.
I'm going to think positive and think that they did. But anyway, Kendall, what do you think about pie? What pie must you have at Thanksgiving, or it's just not Thanksgiving for Kendall?
Well, you know, Cliff, it's never a simple answer, is it? Over the years, I have evolved. You know, it used to be chess pie was my favorite. And I've really kind of evolved now to pecan pie. I never liked pecan pie when I was younger, but it has become the staple of Thanksgiving for me now.
Well, now, isn't it interesting because pecan pie is my all-time favorite. I'm going to make one.
We're becoming as one.
We are. We're becoming. Tonight is the night when to become one. We are the world's fattest person, you and I, mm-hmm, together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, yeah, pecan pie is my absolute favorite. I have to have it every year. I make it if I can. It's deceptively simple, everyone. When Food Network finally answers our emails and gives us our own show, we'll show you how to make that recipe off the back of a Karo syrup bottle.
Cliff, you have to trust a fat cook.
You have to trust a fat cook. You can't eat from a fat cook because they've eaten all their food that they cook. That's, which would you rather do? Eat a pumpkin pie?
I'd rather
pie?
Punch you in the face, Cliff.
Oh, Kendall, no.
It's time to make a decision. Would you rather?
Oh,
Cliff, would you rather do this segment or go to bed?
I'm going to plead the fifth, but we're going to do the segment anyway.
All right, Cliff, and, yeah. I got a question for you.
All right.
Would you rather eat the entrails or all the insides of a turkey carcass or be forced to watch nothing but your favorite football all day on Thanksgiving?
Oh, my God. I would eat football, is what I was going to say. Of course, I would watch football all day. Good grief.
I thought you were going to say, of course, I would eat entrails. I didn't know. You know, I love football. I know which one I would choose. I didn't know. I saw the question our writer sent, and I thought, well, maybe Cliff would choose the entrails.
It is telling that football is, it is a pretty big tradition for Thanksgiving, and I have not thought about it once. I have not thought about it in weeks. It never even occurred to me. When I was preparing the mountains of research and notes for this episode, I mean, I have like 20 pages on how much I like that Kanye West song, and I have nothing about football.
Cliff, Thanksgiving is the one day that that food outshines my love of football.
Oh, God. Kendall, would you rather wear a pilgrim hat all the time forever?
Oh, God.
Or live in a teepee?
Forever?
You live in a teepee the way you live in your house.
Well, that's not a very fair question. I have to do everything
forever.
Meaning
you can go out and go to work. This is would you rather, and I would rather die is not an acceptable answer.
Well, I'd rather wear a fucking pilgrim hat.
All right.
How's that for
you
an answer?
You get so testy about it.
Oh, I'm testy.
I think your pants are too tight. Open up that top button.
Cliff, everything is too tight. My skin is too tight. Cliff, would you rather like to get to lead the Thanksgiving Day parade for Macy's?
Okay.
Or get to eat Thanksgiving dinner in the White House with the president and his family?
I would much rather lead the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I thought so. Me too. I mean, Obama's cool and all, but Macy's? Come on.
I like Obama, but give me a parade. Don't rain on my parade.
Give me a parade any day.
Kendra, would you rather work on a maize farm, or, by maize, I of course mean Native
corn.
American corn, or...
That. I'll take that.
No.
Second answer.
That was the intermission in the question. Or would you rather work in a cranberry sauce factory?
Ooh, I think I'd work in a cranberry sauce factory.
Because it's inside and probably air conditioned. So that me too.
Air conditioned and sweet. They brought all the sugar laying around. All right, Cliff. Now, this one is a really telling question. Would you rather eat Thanksgiving dinner with your family or eat Thanksgiving dinner with the three celebrities of your choice?
Only because I can eat all kind of dinners with my family. I would, of course, choose three celebrities of my choice.
Oh, and who would they be, Cliff?
Oh, who would they be? Let's see. Probably Dolly Parton. Maybe Rosie O'Donnell. And who would the third be? Somebody real... fun. And
if you say Cher or Bette Midler, that is going to be the gayest Thanksgiving I've ever heard of.
Bette Midler would be a lot of fun, wouldn't she? Cher would be fun too. Either of them, whichever one could make it.
Whichever one. You know, they switch off their shows in Las Vegas. Yeah. So,
Kenna, would you rather eat a piece of pumpkin pie with Sarah Palin.
Well, all I heard was eat.
Would you rather
Sarah Palin.
Eat some pumpkin pie with Sarah Palin or eat some sweet potato pie with George W. Bush?
Oh, you know, I think I can handle the because he's already been president and out more than I can. Oh, don't you bet you whatever I may run for president one day. I would choose George W. Bush over Sarah Palin.
Okay. I would, of course, choose Sarah Palin because I think she and I would be good friends.
Oh, hey, you know, sure.
No, because I'm afraid I might kill her.
Well, in that case, I'm just going to have to get back to you.
I have one other question for you.
All right.
Would you rather have, and this is another question about your family and friends, would you rather have the best, this is also a question about being fat.
Oh.
Would you rather have the best tasting Thanksgiving dinner of your life with a group of strangers, or would you rather have an okay tasting Thanksgiving dinner with your family and friends?
I would rather have an okay tasting Thanksgiving dinner with my family and friends, because that being being with them would make it more fun. I would rather have that.
Oh, Cliff, it doesn't show. It doesn't show.
It doesn't show. Kendall,
from your waistline.
Would you rather eat a turkey or be a turkey?
Oh, I'd rather eat a turkey. Are you kidding?
Oh, monster.
I wouldn't make it past Thanksgiving. Although that might be a good thing.
You might be a wild, fat turkey that can't fly.
Well, I'm already that.
Oh, Kendall, this is the belchiest Thanksgiving of all time.
Well, Cliff, if you eat all that food, you're likely to belch.
But would our listeners rather listen to anything else? Of course not.
No, that is the answer, Cliff. And that's all the time for Would You Rather?
Oh, Kendall. Now, I have something that everybody's going to be thankful for.
Oh, I'm afraid that's what that is, Cliff.
It's a brand new segment. It's a spinoff from our classic episode in September. We brought you an episode where we gave you hot, steamy sex tips, and there's nothing
the listeners are still trying to get out of their minds.
I know, but you know what? We're going to be doing it on a regular basis. Ooh, isn't that what everybody wants? Doing it on a regular basis. This is a segment entitled F You. What does that stand for, Kendall? You're the one.
It's time for some sex tips with Kendall and Cliff.
Wait, what does F You stand for?
F You.
You were the one that coined that phrase.
Cliff, F-U stands for Freak You, Cliff.
It stands for Fuck University, you fucking idiot.
I know. I'm trying to keep it clean here on Thanksgiving. You don't know if Little Johnny may be sitting at the kids' table.
Little Johnny, won't anybody ever teach you the proper ways? Kendall, do you have any sex tips for our listeners?
I do, Cliff. I'm going to start off with something that everybody should probably know about if they're going to experiment with sex.
All right.
And that is anal sex, Cliff.
Oh.
Now, I wanted to bring it right out there with Thanksgiving. Now, anal sex is for everybody, Cliff. There are some tips that you should know if you're going to participate in anal sex.
Okay.
Use a lot of lube.
All right.
This is from our writers, Cliff.
Okay.
Don't use numbing creams, because there's a variety of numbing creams and gels available to decrease the sensation. And you may be tempted to use them if you're afraid of the pain, but not being able to feel the pain could be dangerous, because, you know, you're shoving something up
you
there.
You might tear yourself open, yep.
Yes, so don't use numbing creams. Do use protection.
Yeah.
Do definitely. Let the receiver set the pace.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're the ones that have to accept it. And don't penetrate elsewhere afterwards without a proper cleaning.
Okay.
That sounds like an etiquette tip.
That does sound like, you know, your sex tips often sound like etiquette tips. use a napkin.
I thought it was somebody that everybody should know.
Well, it is something everybody should know. And if anybody out there is wondering, in terms of this podcast, who's the top and who's the bottom? I'm the top, and Kendall's the bottom.
Whoever thought that I would be the expert on anal sex on this show?
Oh, Kendall, I think a lot of people are not surprised at all. all right, Kendall, there's nothing sexier than a spot of role playing to heat things up. But Kendall, if you and your lover are not ready to dress in a weird, you know, Britney-type school uniform. Why don't you just try meeting your lover in a bar? And by meeting, I mean meeting in quotation marks, because obviously you've already met them. You can go to up to them in a bar and just pretend that you're a stranger. You can chat each other up, and, well, if things go well, why don't you just invite them home? And then just fuck your brains out. Wouldn't that make for a hot and sexy Thanksgiving?
Well, can I say something about role-playing real quick?
Okay.
Since we're talking about sex tips right now.
When you're talking now, candy.
I have a problem with role-playing.
You forget that you're really married to Susan and you're afraid she's going to murder you when she pretends to burgle your house.
I don't know. You know, I was an actor many years ago.
You're too method. You're too method, Marlon Brando.
I'm too method, but, you know, I don't know. Role-playing just freaks me out.
Does it?
I could never do it, and I just can't do it. It just creeps me out too much.
Okay. All right. I like it.
And I have another tip. Now, this one, I'm really an expert on, Cliff, and this is...
Eating in bed.
Married sex.
Oh, okay.
Eating... food involved with sex. No, it's married sex, Cliff.
Getting bored during sex and going to the kitchen and eating instead.
Cliff, one of our tips about married sex is to use sex to get past the ruts in your marriage.
Oh, good Lord.
Because there are ruts in your marriage when you know, with the careers and families and friends and hobbies and kids, that, you know, things get daunting and you can use sex to spice it up, Cliff.
All right.
You can. You can stop looking at your partner as your partner, like you said, with role-playing, and thinking of them as somebody else, you know, and use that as a fantasy to get you all hot and bothered.
Oh, as long as you're hot and bothered.
And if you have kids, you can make your room a no-kid zone, because that will make for a better sex life.
It is more sexy to have sex without children playing their PlayStation right there next to you.
I don't mean while you're having sex. I mean make it a no-kid zone. Always.
Your poor kids. Kendall, I want to give you a sex tip. Now, I want you to use this with your wife tonight, Thanksgiving night.
Oh, okay, Cliff. I will use it.
I want y'all to talk dirty to one another.
Cliff, we do all the time.
Uh-huh. I know your dirty talk is, ooh, have you seen
how dirty the bathroom is?
Dusty the back of the refrigerator is.
I talk about it all the time. We're so dirty.
Uh-huh, all right. Kendall, I want you to describe what you're going to do to her in graphic detail. And if she talks back to you, I want her to do the same. And now you just got to disregard what your parents taught you and avoid using correct anatomical terminology. Don't say,
I have a problem with that.
I'm going to insert my penis into your vagina. Don't say that. That turns everybody off.
That's about as dirty as I get, Cliff.
All the listeners out who are listening to the show who had erections have lost them from me saying that. And but instead of saying that, I want you to try more erotic terminology like,
I love that you think any of our listeners might have had erections.
Kendall, I think we give people boners constantly just from our erotic voices. You should say things like cock and shaft. And I think that will just turn you on as much as it does your partner. And if you're having trouble, why don't you reverse roles? So Susan might ask you, what do you plan to do to me? Where will you kiss me? And she'll just let you take over. Which now I have to say about dirty talk. You tell me. This is confession. Everybody has stopped listening. They were blorching 5 minutes ago. This is just you and me talking now. Do you talk during sex? Are you a talker? I don't know. Not necessarily dirty talk, but...
No.
No. I don't either. I find it very weird. Now, I do have to say, I like it when other people do. When the other person does.
Now, I'm really... I'm sorry, listeners, that you're getting so intimate with me right now, but I'm very to the point. You know, I don't like to role play. I don't like to talk. I like to get in, get out, and get on with business.
Well, I like a little talk, but I don't like to do it. I never know what to reply. Because, you know, mostly what I get asked is, ooh, do you like this cock? And
then you say, oh, yeah.
Well, usually all I can say is, oh. But, can I want you give us a sex tip?
Oh, Cliff, that's all the sex tips I have. I'm speechless at this point.
Everybody's so thankful for this episode.
They are thankful that the sex tips are over.
This is what the pilgrims in... The pilgrims were afraid to talk about this. We are not Puritans anymore.
This is what the pilgrims had in mind, Cliff, when they thought of Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, they is.
And that's all the time for... Ooh, F.U. with Cliff and Kendall.
Kendall, that is a new classic segment. That's the new fan favorite right there.
Well, I hear emails coming in right now telling us to never lose that segment, Cliff.
Oh, yeah.
And if it ever leaves, Cliff, that will be a sad day.
If you ever leave me, will you take me with you?
Oh, Cliff, that music is so sad that it's playing in the background.
It's so sad. And what's almost sad, I was not kidding during our Halloween show when I said Christmas was almost over and I was sad about it. I'm still sad that Christmas is almost over and it's just barely Thanksgiving.
Well, get out and do your shopping now, listeners, before Christmas is over, because it's close. It's close by.
It's close.
But, Cliff, you are coming to visit here on December 26th.
I am.
Which is the light at the end of the enormous tunnel.
Oh, the tunnel's going to have to be enlarged if you and I are both going to fit in it, I tell you.
So I'm looking forward to that. But if our listeners are really sad that Christmas is almost over, too.
Yeah.
They can go to our website for solace at cliffandkendall.com, cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, twitter.com/cliffandkendall. They can email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, or they can give us a call on our fat line at 818-3084-FAT.
Do you have any quotes about Thanksgiving?
Oh, of course I do, Cliff. My first quote, if the only prayer you said in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice. And that was Meister Eckhart.
Okay, I'm going to give my second quote and see if it's your second quote, because that was my first quote, too.
okay.
We can only be said to be alive in those moments when our hearts are conscious of our treasures. And that was said by Thornton Wilder.
No, I thought about that one, Cliff, but instead I chose Thanksgiving Day comes by statue once a year. To the honest man, it comes as frequently as the heart of gratitude will allow. And that was Edward Sanford Martin.
Well, how beautiful all those quotes were.
How beautiful, Cliff. How beautiful. And why don't you take us home down those gobbly turkey roads?
Thanksgiving roads to a place I belong. Thanksgiving Day. God, we're even fatter.
Oh, God, we are.
Take me home. Thanksgiving roads. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week.
Oh, what a great Thanksgiving episode. We love you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Cliff and Kendall will be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. And for more sass, visit cliffandkendall.com.
So if you ever doubt the Father's wisdom, you're feeling lost and can't find a way, well, the two things I'd like you to consider are getting down on your knees and pray.
For all those who know him go to heaven, to the blessed promised land, and all are saved. No matter how cold this cruel world treats you, remember Jesus is the one and only way. So let's all join hands and sing together. Jesus is the one and only way. I will be forever blessed in the morning. I will be forever blessed throughout the day. I will be forever blessed in the evening. For Jesus is the one and only way. We will be forever blessed in the morning. We will be forever blessed throughout the day. We will be forever blessed in the evening, for Jesus is the one and only way.
Yes, Jesus is the one and only way.
Okay. Okay. Well, that is very interesting. And when they have a symposium on riveting podcasting, they will play this episode.
You asked me what I thought about pumpkin pie, bitch.
Oh, Kendall.